pray, Heavenly Father. I want to thank you for the opportunity I have to share. It's always a blessing to share your word. It's the best part, the calling. And I appreciate it and love it. And help me. Hide me behind the cross. And let them see you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I entitled the message, Empowered by His Presence. When was the last time you sensed God's presence? Now you're welcome to share. Anyone would like to share about you really sensed. There was a time in your life you really sensed God's presence. Maybe you thought there was, you entertained an angel unawares. You know, has anybody ever entertained an angel here unawares? That you really think it was an angel? You really thought so? Anybody ever? Wow. I've always told the Lord that I'd like to be entertained by an angel sometime. It's not a requirement, but boy, it sure would be, it'd be neat. Ever a time in your life that you really sense God's presence? So it's maybe you don't want to share. Maybe it's sort of private. But has there ever been a time in your life that you really know that God was really with you? His presence with you, was with you. Same here. I can't share. I have lots of times, but I can't share some of them because it involves some of you. And that's privacy matters. But there's been times in my life that I really sensed His presence. Maybe you experienced it here at the church. Maybe you experienced it while witnessing to a friend. Maybe you experienced when you were praying, maybe for a loved one. There's times that I think I felt probably His presence most often is in times of prayer and reading His word. I would say. It's really times, it's just amazing. Because that certain passages in the Word that I've read before and didn't quite have an understanding of it. I didn't grasp it. And then I came back to the same passage and prayed again over it before I read it. And this time, I got it. I got it. Now one particular, and it's been many places, but one in particular, was when David said, "My sin is ever before me." That was confusing to me when I first read that. I didn't understand that. I knew that God had forgiven him. So why would David make such a statement? My sin, and he's referring to my sin between him and Bathsheba. That was what he was referring to. My sin is ever before me. And then all of a sudden, it clicked. I got it. And you know what? Every one of us here today could say the same thing that David said. My sin is ever before me. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by, did you ever do anything that was really sinful, really bad, and God forgave you? But you had trouble forgiving yourself. How about your remembrance of it? How about your memory of it? You understand what I'm saying? If there was one thing you could go back in the past and change, what would it be? Did I hit it? You're right, Pastor. If I could go back, I'd really redo it. I'd do it differently. Because I didn't do it right. And I know that God forgave me. But I have a remembrance of it with me always. It's always with me. It's ever before me. And now I understand that passage. God forgives us all. But we have a memory of it. And sometimes the devil uses it to eat away at us. To eat away at us. Reminds you that you shouldn't be in the pulpit if everybody knew what you did. Huh? That's what the devil does. Makes fun of you. The word is, he intimidates you. He intimidates you. He don't want you to share your experience because he knows that that experience would be very effective and could really help somebody take their life turned around. He knows that. And so he will intimidate you to keep your mouth shut because he don't want you sharing it. Because he knows the effectiveness of it. Maybe, perhaps you experienced God's presence when you were going through a very difficult situation. And you had to rely solely on his strength and his power. It's times like these that the Lord does reveal his power in very unique ways. His presence is so important. The church couldn't exist today without his presence. And when our Lord gave the Great Commission, he told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so then he finished with this promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. They needed to have that. They needed that encouragement for what they were about to do, is to take the gospel to the entire world. They needed to be energized by that promise. So how can we describe the presence of God? Does anybody want to share? How do you describe his presence? Do you ever get really emotional? Is it a time when his presence is there? I don't know. I'm just asking. Is there? How would you describe his presence? We know what's described in the scripture, and we're going to look at that. We know the Bible says that our Creator is omnipresent. That's just a fancy word for he's everywhere. He's everywhere present. He's everywhere. He's not present in all the places in the same way. He is in the mountain, but he created them. He is not the mountains. He's not any of the created things he is. And there are some people who worship that. Sun worshipers, tree worshipers. All kinds of places and things to worship. God created them, but he didn't create them to be worshipped. He didn't create them to be worshipped. Nature reveals his power in so many ways. Do you ever notice the clearness of the skies at this time of year? Oftentimes I go out in the evenings and walk out beyond the porch and just look up. The other night I did that, it was just amazing. I saw the Big Dipper, and it was as clear as could be. I counted the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were 7. 7 stars in the Big Dipper. It was beautiful. I have to do a little more studying because that's the only one I can find. How many constellations are there?
A bunch.
I'm not sure. But do you know it's amazing? They don't change. They're the same. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Daniel, Abraham, David, all these heroes in the scriptures looked up at the sky and saw the same thing, stars that we see? You think about that. They saw the same things. They probably didn't know to call it the Big Dipper. Maybe they just call it the Big Pan in the sky. I don't know what they call it, but do you understand? The stars haven't changed since the time God created them and put them and placed them. They're the same today as they were at the time of Moses and Abraham as they looked up into the skies. That just amazes me. Wow, that's all I can say. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous, Proverbs 15:29. So, can we really define the presence of God? Let's do our best to describe it in the scriptures. So what role does the Holy Spirit play in our lives today? The Holy Spirit came into our life. We asked the Holy Spirit to come. When the Holy Spirit came into life, we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Now, depending on how you were raised, there's a little more added to that. If you were raised Pentecostal, you'd say you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. If you were raised Baptist, you have the Holy Spirit when you accepted Christ as your Savior. You with me? All kinds of additions, it seems, sometimes in the Scripture, but you know what the Bible says about if you add to it, so shall the plagues be added to you. So don't be adding anything that God didn't add. Better keep it the way it is. Don't make those changes unless you want the plagues in your life. So how did the Lord operate in the past? The Father revealed his presence to Moses through what? You know. The burning bush. We don't know just how much of God allowed the presence for Moses to see. We do know that Moses desired to see God. And did God grant his request? Yes. But he had to do something with Moses first. What did he do with him? We have a song about it. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. So he put Moses in the cleft of the rock because God's holiness is something this natural man can't behold and live. We can't survive that. But God accommodated Moses. He put Moses in a cleft of a rock, an inset in some rocky place that when God passed by, I think God sort of did this to Moses. Put his hand over him so he couldn't see all of his glory because it would have destroyed him. But God did accommodate Moses as best he could. And the little bit that Moses saw God when he came down off the mountain, his face did what? It shone like an angel. His presence is amazing. Someday we'll be able to behold it, but you know why we'll be able to see it? Because we'll have what? We'll have new bodies. Bodies that will be able to be accommodated by the glory of God. Because this body can't. You can't be in God's presence. Not that way. God's presence today is through the Holy Spirit living in you. Quite differently than the Ark of the Covenant. But they had to do certain things before they could go. And only the high priest could go into the Ark of the Covenant. So Joshua saw the Lord in the form of a warrior. As you know, he was given the responsibility of leading the Israelites into the promised land, and God revealed to him to win the battles. And then God appeared to Gideon to encourage him. God instructed him. He told Gideon, you need to reduce your army to 300 men. Because God wanted to be the one to give the victory. It wasn't going to be human might. It was going to be the power of God that would bring the victory. So he told him to reduce his army to 300 men. And then he gave him a miraculous victory. In Judges chapter 7, you can read about it, verses 1 through 25. The prophet Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. He was certainly also aware of the presence of God. And after seeing, he said, what shall I do? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among unclean people. He realized what he needed. He needed God's healing power in his life. God met with Jeremiah. The Lord promised that persecution would not defeat him. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 19, God's presence empowered him to proclaim Judah's disobedience and call the nation to repentance. God met with Jeremiah. God's presence empowered Jeremiah to proclaim Judah's disobedience and call the nation to repentance. And then in the New Testament, Peter was also strengthened by the presence of Jesus. The Lord walked on water. Who else walked on water? Peter. But he took his eyes off Jesus. He looked and he saw the waves. They only went. That's what happens when we take our focus off Jesus. Had Peter kept his focus on Jesus the whole time, I believe Peter could have walked right out and shook Jesus saying, how about it? Is he gonna? If he kept his eyes on Jesus. Apostle Paul, on his way to Damascus, met Jesus. He saw Jesus. Jesus said, it's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? God changed his direction completely. And he needed to have that presence of God in his life to be able to continue to preach the gospel in the face of beatings and imprisonment and persecution. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9. And so how does the presence of God empower us today? It motivates us to live godly lives. We're motivated to make righteous choices. His presence empowers us to overcome any challenge. David wouldn't have had a human choice against Goliath. How could it be? But David realized that there was times when he had to take care of a lion and a bear. And David related to that, stories of those times. So Goliath would be no problem. But David knew where his power and strength came from. Came from his almighty Lord. The shepherd boy certainly was aware of his presence in his life. He knew Jehovah would defend him in his name and give victory to Israel. Reminds us of how he worked in the past. The Lord told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua 1:9. We have all kinds of biblical examples, especially I think about Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of the heroes, of biblical heroes in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We see many examples of his faithfulness, and we can have that supernatural peace and confidence in every situation and in every circumstance. We can have it. God's presence gives us his perspective. When King Aram's army had surrounded Elisha's home, the prophet's servant grew fearful. Do you remember the story? And then God revealed his angelic warriors that surrounded them in 2 Kings chapter 6. You can read about it. And when he was able to see the angelic warriors, all fear was gone. They were invisible forces. Elijah saw it, but Elisha didn't see it. So God arranged for him to see it. Somehow supernaturally gave him sight. And when he seen all those angelic warriors, listen folks, it would have only taken one angel. Just one. That's all it would take. But he saw lots of angels. Can you imagine the power of all those angels? Ooh-wee. Amazing. You better read your scriptures. You'll see the power of one angel, what one angel can do. Imagine a multitude of angels. They do God's bidding. They do his bidding. We can trust God to fight, and he will win our spiritual battles for us. Stand still and see the salvation of God. So many times we want to work at trying to fix it ourselves. I'm guilty of that. I've tried to do it lots of times. When I should listen to the words, stand still. Stand still. I want to fight the battle for you. I love you. Would you trust in me? God says, trust in me. I'll fight your battles. You going through a battle right now? Are you struggling? Trust in him. Trust in him. He wants to fight the battle for you. Give it to him to fight. Say, Lord, I can't handle this no more. Give it to him. He's waiting for you. He's listening for you to talk to him. When's the last time you spoke to him? The world is certainly different than it was in the biblical times. But I can tell you, our God never changes. He is still willing to speak to us and to empower us if we're willing to listen and to ask him. He wants to satisfy you with his presence. And he wants to use you in exciting ways. Don't miss one of life's greatest blessings, learning to live in the knowledge that he is always with you. Have you ever sensed God working through you? I want to ask you this. I'm closing with this. Do you want to experience the Lord's intimate, powerful presence in your life? If you do, I want you to bow your heads. And you can pray this prayer silently to the Lord. I'm going to say the words and you can follow after. I challenge you to pray this prayer today. Father, I want to know you in a new way. Show me any areas of my life that are not pleasing to you. I want to submit to your perfect control of my life. Reveal yourself to me in any way you choose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you were able to pray that. I want you to sense God's presence in your life, because I can tell you this. Once you've sensed God's presence in your life, you'll be forever changed. Forever changed. It is amazing to feel his presence. Amazing. I know that there's certain times in my life that God had spoken to me. And it was just absolutely amazing. And if I go times in my life where I don't have that, I ask him, I said, Lord, something in my life you don't like. Did you see something? Have I done something to offend you? Have I grieved you? Because if I have, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. Because I want to sense your presence. I want to sense your presence. I want you to talk with me and walk with me. Because once that happens, if you've ever had it happen once, you'd like to have it happen every day. And someday, when we're in heaven, oh, it'll be amazing. Absolutely amazing.